Yes, Father, thank you that we can come into your presence and know you love us. You love us. Not because we are perfect, but you are perfect. And Lord, thank you that we can come and worship you this morning, Lord, and wait upon you and hear from you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word this morning, Lord, that you will come and encourage us, reveal yourself to us, strengthen us, show us more of you, and send us from this place, not alone, but with you. Thank you, with you, nothing is impossible. And so we come and we worship you, and we listen to you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. If you were gone, if you were wise enough not to be here during December, who of you are back? Anybody back from holiday somewhere? Okay, well done, well done. Who is from Hermanus? Who is from Hermanus? Okay, who is not from Hermanus? I'm so sorry. But you are welcome to come and stay here while there's still space. Thank you for everybody that helped with the fire in praying and supporting. The youth camp was great for 24 hours. They also had to evacuate because of a fire there in Franschhoek. And thank you for the parents that helped just with the logistics, getting all the kids back. Thank you for those who've been praying here for the fires around the area. May I ask us just to, maybe for a moment, just for a minute, just turn to somebody next to you. Let us just ask God and thank God for his protection for lives, but also ask God to restore that what was lost in the fire. Let's just turn to one another and ask, thank God for his protection, but also that God will restore what was lost. Yes, Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Thank you that we know that you're a God that restores in every season. You show us there's a time for everything, but your heart is to the weak, the broken, and the poor. And you restore, you renew. Lord, we thank you for those who served by fighting the fire, Lord. We pray that you will renew their strength. Lord, we bring especially those who have suffered because of this fire. And we pray, Lord, that you will strengthen, encourage, and restore to them what they have lost. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's 2026. And you seem very excited. It's a new year, and with it, the promise of new beginnings, a new season, a fresh start. There's so many things that goes through our minds. And as I was preparing and really praying and asking the Lord for a word also for us as a congregation for this year, the Lord laid two words on my heart. The first is a well-known portion of Scripture where Jesus said, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Who of you know that Scripture? Who of you know where it is? Yes? Anyone? Matthew 28, who was that? Who said that? Ah, di pastor. Okay, well done. It's Matthew 28. It's a well-known portion of scripture. You shouldn't be putting it up there. Dankie Koos. Thank you. Trust my slides. Thank you, Koos. Koos is very good. He's my backup. It's a well-known portion of scripture, the Great Commission. It's the end of the Great Commission, where Jesus promised to be with us always. That's the first word I believe that God is saying to us as a congregation, as a church, for 2026. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The second word I will share with you later on. But first, this powerful promise, this powerful statement and great encouragement of God Himself saying to us, I am with you always. The past 2 weeks, Pastor Vanner has been preaching on Abram's call. Our father of faith who responded to God when God called him out of his country, out of his family, to what was familiar to him, to go to a place that was unfamiliar, unknown, and how Abram trusted God. And the promise that God gave him was very similar. I'm going to take you from where you are, what you know, to somewhere you do not know, but behold, I'm with you. I'm with you on this journey. And I want us to read that again, just Genesis 12 as an introduction. And the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. I mean, what a powerful example and expression of faith. God calling a man to leave what was known, to go somewhere unknown, with the promise that he will be with him. And Abram trusted, believed God, and left his country and his family. And so becoming the father of faith. And in a similar way, we all have been called like Abram. To leave what is familiar, to leave this world and the ways of this world, and to follow Jesus to another way, to another kingdom, waiting for us. And we are called to follow Him in ways that are unknown, unnatural to us, to become more like Him. God made the same promise to Abram's son, Isaac, and then also to Jacob. In Genesis 28, verse 13, we read, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abram, your father, and of the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I mean, what a powerful statement. What a powerful encouragement. God made the same promise to Moses before he went to Pharaoh. He made the same promise to Joshua before he crossed the Jordan. In Deuteronomy 31, we read, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and very courageous. You must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it amongst them as their inheritance. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And what a powerful encouragement for 2026. All over Scripture, God promises this to His people. In Isaiah 41 as an example, God says from verse 9, I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners I have called you. And I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Verse 13, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. 2026, do not be afraid. I am with you. I will help you. Whatever you face, whatever you go through, wherever you go. It is a powerful promise and statement and encouragement for this year. God is with us. God is with you. Do not be afraid. He will strengthen and help you. This promise is not just in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, which brings me to our key text in Matthew 28. And as I was reading it, God spoke to me for us. That brings me to the second point. But let's first read Matthew 28 together. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus said, had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Behold, I am with you. As I was reading it, God said to me, Andries, I am with you, but it is not about you. It is not about you. The reason I'm with you. It is not firstly, primarily about you. It is not about your plans, your works, and your success. It is about me. It's about me. That is why I'm with you. I chose you. It is about my plans, my work, my success. You are not the center of the universe. I am. I am God. And you are not. But I love you. And I chose you. I did not bless Abram for his name's sake. I blessed him for my name's sake. I blessed him so that all the nations through him may receive my plan of a blessing, my son. I chose you so that through you and your offspring, my plan of blessing the whole world will come to pass. I blessed Isaac and Jacob because of my plan. I was with Israel, not because they chose me, but because I chose them. I am with you, not because you are great. I am great. I am merciful. I am patient. I am compassionate. I am loving. I am generous. I chose you, I saved you, and I love you first. reminds me of that scripture where David writes, who is man that God is mindful of him? Who are we? Who am I that God is mindful of me? God says, I saved you by grace. By grace, not because of your works. I saved you by grace. Not because of your works, but because of my works. I made you a new creation for my purpose, not for yours. I have called you and saved you for my purposes, my plan, my success. And all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore go. Go with me. Go in my name. And be part of my plan. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of age. God is the center of the universe, and we are not. And God's promise to bless us and to be with us is not primarily for my plans and my success. It's for His. And we have the privilege to belong to Him. He has a plan for humanity, and He called us out of this world into His plan to become part of Him and His purpose. We are called to become co-laborers with Christ, empowered by His Spirit, to live for Him and no longer live for ourselves. And because we follow God, God says, I will be with you. And because we belong to God, God says, I will love you. I will bless you. But all this is not for our glory. It's for His glory. That's why He chose us. He loves us. God loves us not because He has to. He doesn't have to love me. God doesn't have to love me. He doesn't have to love you. But He chooses to love me. He chooses to love you. And it's not because I'm perfect, and it's not because you are perfect. It's because He is perfect. And because He is perfect, He chooses to forgive you. Because it's His plan and His purpose. Through us, His love and mercy and grace may be revealed. It's through the foolish things of this world that He has chosen, you and me, that we are redeemed, forgiven, and belong. That gives us great security and certainty and liberty. Because we are loved by God, not because we are special, but because He is. And He chose us. That's the God that we serve. We don't deserve anything, yet He loves us and He calls us. And I believe some of us here today are like the 11 disciples in Matthew 28. From verse 16, then the 11 disciples, Jesus' closest disciples, not the 120, not the 72, but the 11 remaining disciples, His closest disciples, His closest friends. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. They worshipped Him. But some doubted. Some doubted. They worshipped Him because they believed that He was God. He was the Son of God. They worshipped Him as the resurrected King. But yet, some doubted. That doubt was not unbelief because they worshipped him. It was a hesitation. It was an uncertainty. What would this mean to follow him? What would this look like? And what would this cost? They believed and they worshipped, but they were hesitant. And I believe some of us here today, we believe and we worship, but we are hesitant. We are uncertain. What would this mean? To live for him. To surrender all to him. What would this mean? Jesus did not rebuke them. And neither does he rebuke us for our hesitation and our uncertainty at times. Instead, he encourages us by saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Nothing is impossible for me. Therefore, go. Follow me. And behold, I, who have all authority in heaven and earth, am with you always. And whatever you need to do, because you follow me, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will be with you. Just like with Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and the 11 disciples. I have a plan. I have called you. I've called you to be part of my plan. And I am with you. I am with you. Just like a child that is hesitant, God says, as in Isaiah 41, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I am with you. Like a child who is hesitant. He will come to her and say, come. Do not be afraid. Take my hand. Come. I will help you. I'll take you on the stage. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Trust me. God calls each and every one of us. Thank you. Thank you. You see, even if we are hesitant, God stretches out his hand and says, come, I will take you by hand. Do not be afraid. I will help you. Even though you're hesitant, even though you're uncertain, I am with you always. 2026, God is saying, come, live for me. Live for me. I have called you to do just that. And don't be afraid. Even if you're hesitant, even if you're unsure, I will help you. Will we consider to respond to this invitation in this year? Just like he called his first disciples, he is calling us to follow him. God uses those whose faith are not perfect, who are hesitant at first. He uses them to succeed in his plan. And so can you and so can I succeed in God's plan. Will we respond this morning to this invitation? To give ourselves to God's purpose, whatever that may mean for your life. To go a bit deeper, to come a bit closer, to seek first this year, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and trust him with the rest. Because he promises he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he will be with us. Let us respond to him this morning. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for this invitation to follow you. To follow you out of this world, out of what we know and what happens around us, to a place we do not know, to a way that is so foreign at first, but through your Spirit becomes the only way. Lord, I pray that you will help us. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Thank you, God, for your patience and your choice that you always stretch out your hand, even when we're hesitant and uncertain and unsure, you still help us. This morning, Lord, may we put our faith and trust in you and commit ourselves to seek you first in everything we do. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to respond in your own heart, in your own words, just as you seated it, just to God's invitation this year to seek him first and to live for him, that he may teach you what it means, that you will trust him to do just that. Just take a moment and speak to him in your own words. This morning, Lord, we want to respond. We want to respond to your invitation to live for you, for your glory, for your kingdom first. If that is you this morning, I want to ask you to do something bold. If you want to respond to God's invitation to live for him first, to know that you are not alone, but that he will be with you always. If that is you this morning, I want you just to stand. Yes, God, I want to respond to your invitation to follow you, to live for you, to put you first in my life, no matter what it means, to trust you. We want to respond to you, God. We want to respond and say, yes, God, here I am. If you are here this morning, I want to ask everybody to stand. You see, even the hesitant, that's how the kingdom works. God's promise is not just for those who respond first, but even for those who are hesitant. For everyone who stands, God promises, I will be with you always. Follow me. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that is standing today. Thank you, God, that you've promised and you still promise that I will be with you wherever you go. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will be with you. Lord, thank you that we can enter this year not afraid, not discouraged, because you have promised to be with us, and because you are true, and because you never lie, and because all your ways are perfect. Even though we face uncertainty, trials, and tribulations, we know that you are with us. And nothing is impossible for you. And not only that, we don't just belong to you. You love us. You love us. Your heart is towards us. You're attentive to our needs. You know, you see, and you provide everything we need in the right time, in the right way, so that we may grow in you. We thank you for this. We thank you for this confidence we have in this year to come, that no matter what we face, we are not alone. We are with you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. May this year be your best year. Closer to Him. More of Him. May God bless you. We're going to be here. If you need some prayer, if you want to give your life to God, we'd love to pray.